It's me, Johnny, and with me, I have DJD.
Howdy.
And that's it. Farmer. That's it. Just me and DJD today. No Farmer, I know. Should we comment again that, you know, Farmer, I've missed three podcasts and you've missed one. And Farmer, man, for weeks, for literal weeks, he was like, you guys aren't committed to the podcast anymore. Yeah, I don't know where he is. I'm here. How does it feel?
Tables.
Oh, yeah, right. How does it feel to be a month behind me? December 1st.
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
Where I live.
For 7 minutes, yeah.
A whole month in the past.
This is what I used to do for my sister and I, where our birthdays are 4 days apart. So I used to always say that I was 3 years older than her for 4 days. And she used to get so mad at that when we were growing up.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. My favorite is on New Year's Day in Japan, right? It's just, especially if you stay up till midnight, we've got you guys for like 14 hours. For 14 hours, 15 hours, I'm a whole year ahead of you guys. But this year, I'll be going to America for a NavCon. Well, I mean, I should clarify, I'm not going for a NavCon. I'm going to visit family, and a NavCon is happening.
Because you're going, basically.
Because we're going. And so this year I won't get to do that. I won't get to be like, huh, I'm a year ahead of you guys. How does it feel? But yeah, Farmer's not here. And of course, sitting there in the back, we've got Craig manning the booth. What's up, Craig?
Nice to have you, Craig. Thanks for doing your job.
Who may or may not come to a NavCon. Unclear.
Unclear. Probably, but we'll see.
Probably. Listen, the economy is affecting all of us.
The economy is affecting all of us, and who knows how hard visas are going to be to get for Craig, you know?
For Craig, I mean, that's like, true.
It's a very difficult environment for, immigrants or, people on visas. So.
Walls getting built, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Everywhere.
But we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best to get Craig in there. Okay, and I just want to clarify, you guys, that I do share office space with Chiho, and she's behind me watching Pearl Harbor. And
wait,
wait
a second. Hold on.
I'm also watching it.
What kind of, like, American propaganda is it that Abby's making her watch Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, right? Well, so here's the even funnier part. It's like Pearl Harbor, it was like not available on like Japanese Netflix and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, it's a touchy subject for them. Listen. But also, it's not a touchy subject because this is like the one time they did well, right? This is when they're like, huh, we got you. Hey. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But it looks like the Japanese planes. So I'm going to try and describe the video to you guys. The Japanese planes flying over there right now. They're on their way.
Not like as you're listening to this, but in the actual movie, just for the record.
In the actual movie.
Like movie.
We're friends now.
We're friends now.
Yeah. We beat them. And by we, I mean the United States. I'm an American.
We're friends now. So prepare to get tariffed. Okay.
Yeah. We beat them so hard that they became friends with us. That's how hard we beat them, you guys. But do you say, is Japan getting tariffed too? What?
Not
is
yet,
everybody getting
but I mean,
tariffed?
Like, apparently that's what we do to our allies now. So, I mean, like.
Yeah, like, but the, no, Japan and America are super tight, right? Like, Abe and Trump were BFFs. So we're going to backtrack here because we did an episode about this when there was, like, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, right? That is not funny. But what is funny is the memes that came out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's pretty funny. And my favorite meme is, you know, we've all seen the picture where Donald Trump's like laying on the ground. Right. And there's like gunshots going or whatever. And there was a meme where someone wrote on it like, get up, Donald-kun, get up. And he like looks up in the sky and it's like the
Prime Minister of Japan who
got shot and killed. He's like Shinzo and he's like up in the sky like Mufasa. Oh, dude, I still think about that image. One of my favorite YouTube videos is there's like a, everyone go ahead and go, it's the visual bit. Go look up Japanese Donald Trump commercial. It's from 2016. It's hilarious. Also, the song in it is fantastic. It's super funny, but my favorite part about it right now is since the 2024 election, there's a bunch of comments on it that just say, "We did it, Shinzo."
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, that's enough politics.
For you.
Yeah. So let's move away from political figures here. Elon Musk is the number one Diablo player. Let's move to a less divisive person. Elon Musk is the number one Diablo player in the world. Did you see that?
Okay, so, I mean, there are not a lot of conspiracy theories that I believe, right? There's not. There's really not. But for the richest man in the world to brag so much and have so much time on his hand, despite, you know, buying an election and, like, you know, like owning multiple, like, crazy companies and all that, and apparently administrating them, and now heading a new government agency that doesn't really exist, but might, you know, maybe after January 20th, like... For him to be the number one Diablo player kind of smells like maybe something's weird about that. And I'm not a, you know, isn't that weird kind of person, like in terms of like, you know, like, oh, that must be true. You know,
I want to clarify that when people make comments like that, I hardcore hate that when they're like, oh, isn't that weird? And I'm like, what are you saying? Just say it.
Because here's the problem. When most people say that, they're just asking questions, but really what they're doing is they already have an answer and they want you to arrive at that answer too, you know? And right. It's like, this is disingenuous. You're just like trying to promote your own little conspiracy theory. That's all you're doing. And I mean,
so
like,
what I again, read about
I don't
the
believe
situation
a lot of conspiracies,
is because there's a video of him doing it.
Yeah.
There's a video, right, of his run. And his run puts him at the best Diablo player in the world. But I saw this and I feel like I heard something about it. And then I saw the article like a few days later. There's a theory that there was a bug that allowed you to like basically upgrade your health to a certain degree and then convert that to damage or something. There was some kind of damage bug. And this video came out before it was fixed. It was out for a few days. Word of it came out. And then they fixed it pretty quickly. But this video would fall into the window of it like not being fixed. So there is a possibility that he was exploiting the patch or the bug, you know, before the patch.
Sure.
So if he does it again, you know, then... That's not
That's
the case, but that may
sure.
be it. Hold on. Here we go. This is the... I'm reading this from a Forbes article. Who wrote this article? Written by Paul Tassi. He
What's
says... There's been a bug going around in Diablo 4 the past few days with the Elixir of Anti-Venin, which can increase player health to 1 million or more, far beyond what it's supposed to be. There are ways to transfer max health into damage, and that results in the ability to one-shot essentially everything in the entire game, including, say, pit 150 bosses, which have been easy to farm as a result of this bug. The bug was patched yesterday, which went from when he updated it, on the 22nd of November. But Musk's video went up during the time when the bug was still live. It's a possible explanation as to why he was able to beat the current world record by a few seconds. However, there is no way to prove this as we don't see his damage numbers or his health total during the run. He would be far from the only person using this bug when it was live, but it does, of course, have the potential to break records for pit 150 farming for everyone, which may be why Helltide's list has not updated with new times. Interesting. So, anyway, I agree. I didn't realize that, like, people were still playing Diablo 4. Hasn't been out for a long time?
It's been out, was it last year that it came out, I think, maybe?
I have no idea. Hey, guys, we're a gaming podcast.
Yeah. Did it come out this year? I don't think so, right?
No, because Aquathor was playing it.
Oh, right. So, yeah,
it definitely. Came out in June 2023.
Okay. Yeah. I knew that. I was just testing you.
I have never played I've never played Diablo 4. Honestly, I'm not a big fan of like the Diablo, just period. Like the game type, like the style of game, I'm not super into it.
I think it's that a if little you didn't too like boring. Diablo 3, you probably wouldn't like Diablo 4. I do kind of, it took me a while to come around on Diablo 4 because they made some changes to the UI, because Diablo 3, they ported to consoles like way after release, right? With like a different edition and everything. And so the interface for consoles was dramatically different than the interface for PC. This one launched at the same time, multi-platform. And so like the UI is dramatically different because it's like, you know, for both. It was designed kind of for both. And that took a while to get used to. But overall, it's a great game if you liked a lot Diablo.
I don't know. I just find the gameplay to be boring, personally. Yeah.
Then, I mean, you probably wouldn't like it then.
Or, I shouldn't say I boring. I feel like it's just, it's very repetitive and I'm not super into it.
It is kind of repetitive, but I feel like it's repetitive in the same way that, like, an MMO, like World of Warcraft is repetitive, you know? I mean, like, so. Well,
and for reference, I've not been playing a lot of World of Warcraft the last 2 weeks. I hit max level on a couple characters. I went through the newest expansion. And I'm doing some of the other stuff for story stuff. And technically, I could like get better gear and stuff like that. But I hit that gameplay loop pretty hard. You know, I was playing it really hard for about a month. And now I feel happy to just chill. I finished Prince of Persia. I've been talking about this with D off the podcast. But what a great game. And because David is also playing it, I will not talk any spoilers. But I have played... I don't want to say every Prince of Persia game, because, you know, they're like the old side scroller games on the computer. I remember my uncle playing them and me playing them a little bit and such, you know, where you like had an hour to beat the game kind of a deal. But I've played most of the big Prince of Persia games that have come out, and I think this is a fantastic addition. It's, I don't know what it is, if it was because the old games used to like be timed, like time has always been a thing in the Prince of Persia games, and it is a thing in this too, of like time not flowing in a straight line and that kind of stuff. But I really loved it. You know, I might go back and play Hollow Knight, and I might go back and play like Ori, like these side scroller games that I didn't really get into. Really got into this one. But who knows, it took me about 20 hours to beat the main story at about 70-something%, which I felt like I did a lot. I don't know. I wonder what's the lowest percentage you can just like do the main story at. Because I did do a decent amount of exploring and stuff like that. But there's a PSA out there for everybody. Don't forget to upgrade your gear.
Yeah.
I really struggled. Yeah. And I just couldn't do any damage on this boss and was just fighting, struggling. And then I had so much money and stuff built up that I could like upgrade my sword damage like twice almost. And like the rest of the game, super easy, as long as I was remembering to keep my gear current.
I played through most of God of War without upgrading my gear. And it got really, really difficult. And I hit a brick wall and I was just like, this is unbeatable. I just don't know. Like, I mean, it's unbeatable. And then I hit the start button and I like went, oh, right, there's this weapons thing. I wonder what that is. And I'm like, oh, I haven't upgraded anything yet. So.
Oh, my God. It's like, I love telling this story of when Fallout 4 first came out, which if you had to guess what year that was, what year was Fallout 4 released? Oh, I know, gosh. I was living in Japan.
Like 2016?
That's so close. November 2015. Wow. Jeez. That's pretty good. Yes, I was living in Japan when it came out, and I was playing Fallout 4 because I forgot that I didn't like, or I think Fallout 4 was the beginning of me realizing I don't love Bethesda games. But the I was playing Fallout 4 and been playing it quite a bit, talking with David about it, and then I made like this small comment that I was like, what is it called? VATS?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, man, Fallout, it's great. But, you know, it's a shame there's no VATS in the game. And Dave was like, what are you talking about? there's VATS in it. I'm like, no, there's not. Like, I haven't dealt with a tutorial or anything. Is.
Like, I haven't even played Fallout 4. And I'm like, I know it's in there. Like,
turns out I somehow skipped it. And I had played the game, like, I don't know, like 15 hours. Some insane amount of time. And it was just super difficult because I didn't use VATS the whole time.
Even Fallout 76 has VATS. I mean.
Yeah. So it's like, I think about that experience all the time, being like, oh, yeah, it doesn't have VATS. And you're like, what? Yeah, it does. Yeah. Oh, crazy.
That reminds me of when I was playing Ark Survival Evolved, and I didn't know that you could go directly into an inventory.
Oh, of an animal you're riding? I know. Yeah. I'm like watching him get off the animal to check its inventory. And I was like, what are you doing?
I'd like open the scroll wheel or whatever. I'd go like inventory that way, and it would. 5 to 10 second affair just to go into the inventory. Yeah. He's and like, I'm you can just press watching. This one button. Like, what?
Yeah, I was like, you know, you can press X. I think on the Xbox it's X.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't, yeah, I'm like, just press X. I changed his life. And, you know, at that time, I was always really, I didn't understand why you always complained about, like, moving stuff off of animals into stuff. David was always
would
like,
you have
oh, I don't
to
want
do a lot. You have to,
which
do,
you
that
have to
a
do a lot.
Lot.
Yeah, and it so much made sense of like, this is why it takes him so long to do some of these tasks. And he would always be like, how do you do this so fast? I'm like, I don't know. But as a true PC gamer, I have moved on from Prince of Persia to Ghosts of Tsushima, the other new game that I haven't played yet. How old is Ghosts of Tsushima? Is it 2 years old?
Are you, no, you it's know? Older than that. I want to say it's like 20. Gosh,
oh my god!
I want to say 2018.
Oh god! It's 2020.
Okay.
This came out in 2020.
Yeah.
4 years. It's a 4 year. I thought it's a 2 year-old game. It's a 4 year-old game that I'm playing right now. Anyway, it's new to me, and I am enjoying it a lot.
You know what I'm playing right now? I just started, finally. It's been on my schedule for November, and I just started it on Friday because it's hard for me to do Friday streams. I just started, restarted, I guess. Started for the first time since I played it at launch, L.A. Noire. If you had to guess what year L.A. Noire came out.
Okay, I would guess 2009.
You're close, 2011.
2011, okay. Okay, yeah. I was... So for me, I felt like it came out before I got what day did it come out?
Oh, I have no idea. But hold on, I know it came look. Out in 2011 and then the remaster came out in 2017.
LA Noire release date. I knew it. Yeah, it came out in May 2011. I got married in 2011. So 2011 is a big split year in my life for me of like what happened before I got married and what happened after I got married. But I got married in December, right? So L.A. Noire, I knew it came out before I got married. I did know that. How is it?
Oh, it's really good. I'm not through, like, some of it's coming back to me after 13 years and some of it isn't. So it's definitely, but the remaster holds up pretty well for something that's still 7 years old, you know? I mean, like, the remaster is still pretty decent. So graphically, it's not like, you know, killing me, but also I do have attachment to that game too. So I don't know how much that counts for.
I remember when you first started, watching The Expanse, right? Because for season one, at least, there's a noir feel to it with Miller a little bit.
Right. Yes. 100%. Yeah.
And what was the other? Altered Carbon on Netflix. Yes.
Yeah.
Season one, at least. I know season two with Anthony Mackie was a bit different, but season one, it's very noir-y, future noir-y kind of feeling. So good. So
or
good.
I mean, like Dresden Files is very noir, you know? Like,
yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You know, it's big been a long time since that. We talked about Dresden Files. It's been a long time since we talked about it's better, you know, than Harry Potter.
Man, I will say, dude, like, so I started playing the card game on Tuesday. We should absolutely play that card game. The digital version on Nintendo Switch. That actually was fun. Once I got into it, I'm like, oh, yeah, we did have fun playing this in person. But like,
are you playing
on the
it
surface,
on
it just looks so stupid. Yeah, it's on Switch.
This is, I talked about it last week. I just won a Switch, so I could. So this is the hard thing, right? Is that all games are stupid on the surface, right? If you have no reason to know anything about it and you just are like closed off to trying something, anything that you look at that's a game looks stupid because it's just like, sure. Oh, well, because for any game to work, you have to follow the rules of the game. And it's so easy to be like, oh, well, this rule is stupid. Why do we do this rule? Kind of a deal, right?
Yeah.
That being said, I feel that way about most card games that I see. Most tabletop games.
Sure. I agree. But like, I didn't remember that we had a decent amount of fun with the actual physical version. And then like,
it was fun. No, and is it the same thing? I don't know.
It's the same thing, nervous. But it's digital. And like,
you know, on the Switch, what would be great is they need to make a Dresden File game is what they need. We need a good one. Agreed. We also need a good Avatar The Last Airbender game. Oh, man. So it was Thanksgiving in America this last week.
We should have said Happy Thanksgiving on the last podcast.
Well, this is going to be a week later. So whatever. No, hey, Happy Thanksgiving. Okay, let's start over. Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Last week.
Dee, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for ANAF and the incredible community that we have and how much money we raised during the Movember Foundation fundraiser.
Our episode that came out the day after Thanksgiving was titled Logan is Wrong. Just realized that.
I love it. It was an awesome title. I really appreciated that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. I am thankful for eyeballs.
Eyeballs are good. Yes.
Yeah. Like imagine. So this came up. Let me explain. So that's what I'm thankful for, a lot of things, but I'm going to stick with that. Eyeballs. I'm thankful for Nav. I'm thankful for this community, you know, and I'm thankful for you, my longtime friend. And I'm thankful for eyeballs because how would we see without eyeballs?
True.
How does AI see, or like machine learning, how does it see stuff when you show it something? How does it see? Because it doesn't have eyes.
Well, I imagine it sees kind of similar to like most other things that don't have eyes see, like by using different senses. But I mean, like in terms of like how it perceives information and like then translates that information to reactions is a really interesting concept, because how different is that from the way that humans do it and everything? Right. And like, you know, what is the meaning of life, you know?
This came up because I talked about my use of ChatGPT and how I've been using ChatGPT for things. I asked it to generate an image of me as like, so Chiho has been doing this like fantasy commission drive where she's, you know, drawing you as either an elf, a dwarf, an orc, or a hobbit. These are the choices, right? And she does like a little drawing of you, and it's super cute. Mine is currently my image on Discord and across a bunch of stuff. I asked ChatGPT to generate an illustrated image of me as a dwarf, because I wanted to see how it does, right? Uh-huh. And it made an image, but it didn't really look like me. And so this is ChatGPT specifically. I'm not using, you know, because I know there are other AI models that can do this. And so I was like, hey, this doesn't look like me that much. And it's like, okay, well, why don't you describe yourself to me? And I sent it a photo of myself. And dude, it said that it couldn't see the photo. It knows that I sent a photo, but it couldn't interpret the data from the photo to like what I look like.
Did it say, doesn't look like anything to me?
No, you know, I could actually pull up what it said, but then it reiterated and it asked me to describe myself with words, which I thought that was super interesting. But then it kind of went into that whole thing of like, well, I mean, yeah, like to me, it makes sense. OK, this is what it said. It said, I can't directly interpret images of individuals or tell what someone looks like from a photo. However, if you'd like me to modify the illustration to reflect certain features, you can describe specific traits you'd like included, like hair texture, facial structure, or any defining characteristics. But it led to this thing of like, well, how could I send it a photo and it doesn't realize what I look like? But then it's like, well, how it doesn't have eyes. Right. So like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I posted a question on Threads yesterday. I think you saw it. Did you see it? And my question was...
Maybe.
For... hold on. Where is it? Artists who are against AI. Because this is a very big thing, especially among people I know, right? That are just super against AI. I said, do you use AI for things other than image generation? Which is a very good question, right? What do you use AI for? It's interesting to see the amount of people. Well, one, a lot of people do use it for other stuff, but the amount of people who don't, who are just, again, like, no. One of the people commented back, though, bringing up, like, you know, AI is just a buzzword for machine learning. And so technically, like, if you've gotten a recommendation on Spotify or you've gotten a recommendation on, you know, on Amazon or something, that, you know, is from machine learning and from AI. So does that count? And it's like, oh, man, when you start to talk about that, yeah, I guess, you know, if you step back from the buzzword and such. Yeah. But, yeah, D, it's getting crazy, man.
Well, it's just, yeah, it is interesting this, like, how we've used the term AI for years or whatever. And, like, it's just, right. like, transformed a little bit to specifically mean machine learning now.
Right.
I also find it interesting that there's essentially two arguments primarily against AI, and that those two are almost never like used by the, I mean, I guess they're kind of used by the same people, but not really. Like, there's one that worries that it'll like take jobs away from like creative people, right?
Right.
Like, take creative jobs essentially. That like AI, like technology always does that to an extent,
right?
Of like taking jobs away. And then we have to figure out other ways to adapt to technology to kind of like overcome that. And there is a certain amount of like soul, you know, that's like, I'm sure people said the same thing about like digital image programs, like, right. you know, like Photoshop or whatever, when those first came out, like,
or it's cameras.
Like, oh, this is gonna, yeah. Or cameras. Yeah. Like all this stuff is just gonna like, you know, take away the like jobs from like true artists, you know, but true artists are still around, you know, I mean, like,
right.
It's just a very more like, you know, there's more opportunity. There's more like an expanded idea of what art is. And
right.
But the difference is like that this doesn't necessarily involve human engagement necessarily, with the exception of like prompting it, you know.
Right.
That's an interesting argument, I think. But I don't necessarily fully think that it's like, yeah.
The first drum machine, the Rhythmicon, came out in 1930. Hey, guys. Still drummers out there. You know? Anyway, continue, D.
I mean, this is true. Yes. That is a good point.
There are also a lot of tracks out there where they don't have a human drummer on it, and they just have a machine drummer. That is also true. Before, it was always a human drummer. Now, there are machine drummers, too.
And I also, I think, well, I was playing Starfield, because we got to bring that up since Farmer is in here.
God.
And I think I have a clip about this even where I'm talking about how, like, I don't necessarily think that an AI who creates the exact same image as humans did, that image will necessarily carry the same weight just because of the intent put into it, you know, and the methodology used and like the emotional investment, you know, that the painter used as opposed to AI or whatever. You know, the artist right. used as opposed to like an artificial artist. But like that, like, so I think that like that's not entirely like the most compelling of arguments to be against it, because then you kind of have to like be against all technology, you know,
right.
to some extent. The other argument of it essentially taking like all this information, sometimes without consent, from creative sources, you know, and then replicating it or replicating styles and everything. That's a more compelling one, but also humans already do that.
Except so, that mean, if like, you watch me stream at any point in time, I'll like hear a drum beat in a song, or I'll be like, today what we're doing is we're stealing a drum beat from Taylor Swift. I love this right. drum beat in the song. I'm going to put it in my song. That's what we're doing. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Yeah.
Yes, I do it all the time.
That, yeah, that I mean, that's, yeah, that's the problem, is that, like, humans are constantly, like, reiterating or, like, you know, even outright just imitating or copying or using, you know, like other people's. And this is how we progress beyond like very basic fundamental stuff, is like that we're constantly like using these things that other people have already created to like advance our own creations to some extent. And yeah, there will be plenty of imitations that are exactly the same beat for beat, but also there will be like, you know, enhanced, like more progressive iterations as well. Like, this is also kind of where science is, right? To the point where like science right now, you need like teams of individuals working on stuff because it's so complicated now and so niche in some of the areas that you need expertise, because we already have the fundamentals down. And so, I mean, like, at least as far as we understand them, like there could always be some kind of breakthrough, but like to our knowledge, we already have so much of like the basic fundamentals down in science, in even also like in terms of industrialization, like manufacturing, right? Like we don't necessarily need to like build things from the ground up. We can import those materials from countries that can make them and like create more advanced machinations because like we have that technology. Not to meme, but you know, I think that like that's, I don't know. Like, I think AI is just like the next evolutionary kind of step in that. Like, I don't like how it's being used now because I feel like it's kind of being used kind of gimmicky and like all that. But I also feel like that's probably how most technology goes at the beginning, is that it's just used to like replicate things and then it gets better.
To keep using a metaphor, right? So a landscape painter versus a photographer, right? Because people will say, like, you're not an AI artist. You're just telling the machine and it, you're just prompting it, right? I mean, but did people say that about photographers too? You're not really an artist. You're just, you're not really being creative. You're just using a machine to capture something that you don't have the skill to capture yourself, like with your own hand, right?
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. To quote Bernie Burns, from the Morning Somewhere podcast, he brought up, and I loved it. He's like, so machines are going to take over our jobs, and that's somehow a bad thing?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, wait. Like, in one of the comments I saw talking about AI is that how it's devaluing humans because it can do so much that humans do. It devalues human labor. And I find that so interesting because it fundamentally takes human value based on like your work and like what you're producing or outputting, right? Which from my background, that's not where human value is placed, right?
Well, and the problem too is that most creatives nowadays are creating for financial like means, right?
Right,
like most creatives are essentially
trying
to produce so that they can earn off that, as opposed to like creating for the sake of creation. And so like if we can like actually kind of scale back that necessity to do that and actually get back to innovating through creation instead of being compelled to create certain things just because certain people like them and that's what's going to sell well, you know, I mean, then
I talk that about it
actually
a lot.
Might benefit society as a whole. Overall, you know, to have more creative freedom to like basically do whatever you want and not really care as much about like, you know, making a living off it, you know?
I wonder if it will change the economic system and those kinds of things. Yeah, because as automation, not just with AI, but also with robotics comes into place and people have to work less, what does that look like? You know, and nobody wants to hear people point to science fiction. Right. To be like, well, we have some examples in these works because it's science fiction, but we do have examples, right? Like in Star Trek or on even The Expanse.
Right.
Going back, did you ever watch Blade Runner 2049?
I still have not. No, it's been on my list forever and I still haven't.
Such a good movie. And there's one part of it, no spoilers here, where the Blade Runner, he gets tasked to take down this person who is not a synthetic but is a human, and they're like, do you have a problem with that? And he's like, I've never killed something that's been born before. And they're like, what's the difference if it's born or if it's made? And he says, to be born is to have a soul. Ooh, right? Like there, yeah. I think Battlestar Galactica, there are other things and questions to explore with it, for sure. But I understand people and how they feel and how they feel threatened by the technology and all of that. I mean, we've talked a lot about it at length because it is, it's a big thing. It's going to affect, you know, my children's lives and their children's lives going forward and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, you can't put it back in the bag, right? Cat's out of the bag now.
Well, that's the thing too. Yeah. Like, one of the biggest things that I've always, like, that I've learned overall is, like, in terms of dealing with situations, is that you have to focus on what you can deal with and what you can't. Like, you have to learn to differentiate between those two and then, like, essentially mitigate what you can't deal with as much as possible and then figure out a strategy to, like, actually deal with the things that you can.
There's a song on YouTube I pulled up that is a fake Justin Bieber song where he is, like, singing about Jesus and his faith. And if I didn't see in the description that this song was made possible with the help of AI, I honestly don't know really what I would have thought, because that's how well done it was, in my opinion. Or I shouldn't say well done, but it sounded like him, right? Mm. Those kinds of things are different of, like, you know, deep fakes and like, that's a whole nother conversation, of course, versus like the conversation we're having of like what it's, you know, what people are using it for. But it's right. Pretty wild, man. It's pretty wild.
Because essentially that's a, at the very least misrepresenting, if not outright like copyright infringement of some kind or another. But that's also where you need like strong government regulation, I feel like, too. As much as like, you know, I don't know, like people don't like, you know, having institutions kind of regulate things. Sometimes you need them, especially when technology is like going as fast as it is. Like you kind of need to like set some guardrails for it sometimes. Mm.
Guardrails, what a great word for it. Yeah, exactly. But D, it's about time. Is there anything you want to cover before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
All right, that's it. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Get out of here, Craig.